Last week, we finished... Wait a minute. Let me rephrase that. Last week, we reached a point of temporary closure in teaching about praise and worship. And what that means is that later on, I'll be doing some more teaching about it. But for now, we're to move on. And that's okay. And I wasn't really sure about what to teach on, where we were headed here. And then over the last, I guess, couple of days, it was kind of interesting. The Lord just laid it on my heart that I am to teach a series on faith. Now, as soon as you say something like that in this day and age, a lot of people are going to kind of react, oh, we don't need any more sermons on faith. We've heard all the sermons on faith we need to hear. I know all about faith there is to know. And if we're honest, we don't know all there is about faith to know. But let's face it, over the last, 30 plus years, faith teachings everywhere and so forth. And how many Christians are going to say they don't live by faith, especially Christians who have grown up or spent the last 20, 30, 35 years in what you would call faith teaching? Well, I don't think anybody would. You say, well, I'm living by faith. I'm living by faith. We all say we're living by faith. Well, praise God, that's wonderful. We're all living by faith. So you say you're living by faith. Yes, Brother Martin, I'm living by faith. Okay, fine. Then don't do this right now, but later when you get home, take out a piece of paper and write down 20 things in Scripture you're living by. 20 things. Because if you're living by faith, then you ought to know what you're living by, right? So write down 20 things. Somebody might say, well, 20 things. I mean, 20, are you sure 20? I mean, okay, I'll tell you what. You remember how it was when God and Abraham were talking about Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham said, well, okay, what if there aren't 50? Well, 40, 40, 45, 30, 35, 20, 15. It kept going down. All right, so let's just kind of work. How about 15? Just write down 15 things. 15 things from Scripture that you're living by. Well, Brother Martin, boy, I tell you, 15. All right, 10 things. Write down 10 things that you're living by. Now, I don't mean what you think. Write down 10 things from Scripture that you're living by. You know what? I'm guessing there are a lot of Christians who can't do that. They can't write. They don't have 10 things they can write down. If you're living by faith, then for crying out loud, we ought to know what we're living by. Here's the problem. A lot of the faith teaching, it's been good. I said a lot. It's been good, and it's been inspiring, and it's been motivating. And what it's done is, because of repetition, it's gotten us to the place of learning how to say, I'm living by faith. So we know to say it, but in reality, are we living it? Well, there's a big question there. And somebody would say, well, yeah, but I've heard so many of these faith messages by, this preacher and that one and this one, and there's a bunch of them. Okay, well, I agree with you, so have I. But let me ask you something. How do you know they were correct? How do you know? Because you listened to them and they sounded good and there was some scripture involved, and so you made an assumption they were correct. Therefore, you declare you're living by faith. I mean, if you say you're not living by faith, you look foolish, do you not? I mean, you look like an absolute doofus. If you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you say, well, yeah, but I am not living by faith. So we say we're living by faith. Listen, living by faith can only be done one way. There is no other option. Living by faith can only be done one way, and that is the way God has outlined it in Scripture. There are no other options to this. If you are not doing it the way God has laid out in Scripture, you are not living by faith. Well, I'm trusting God. Okay, well, praise the Lord. What are you trusting? I'm trusting in His promises. Okay. Give me 20. Give me 20 promises. Give me 15. Are you, some of you out there, this is interesting, the looks I'm getting. Because some of you, by virtue of your looks, you're telling me you don't know. I'm not saying this to be critical. Here's what I'm getting at. If we're living by faith, should we not be seeing results that we believe we're supposed to see? Now, that being true, and it is, if we're not seeing the results, how can we say we're living by faith? Now, I'm not talking about walking on water. I mean, that could happen. I think a lot of times what happens is we hear these messages on faith. Some of them are right. Some of them have been wrong. But they get us to the place of having expectations that really aren't scriptural. So we take a look at our lives and we believe, well, you know, if I'm living by faith, it's supposed to be this, supposed to be that, supposed to have this, supposed to do that, so on and so forth. And I don't see those things. So I guess I'm a faith failure. I don't even know what that means, faith failure. But we can use that term. I'm a faith failure. What does that mean? You're a faith failure. Are you a Christian? Well, yeah. How'd you get to be a Christian? Well, I believed in Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. You telling me you put your faith in Jesus Christ to be saved? Well, yeah. Okay, well, it doesn't sound to me like you're a faith failure. It sounds to me like you may not know as much about faith as what you think. You see, what we're going to do in this series is basically go through the process of a faith reboot and re-examine what we believe about faith based upon the Word of God. And I'm telling you right now, even in this sermon, I will be sharing some things with you that some people have probably never heard concerning faith. Now, that, you know, it sounds kind of dramatic, but there are a lot of people that are really put off, well, you know, the faith and confession message, the Word of Faith message. I've had it up to here. I'm sick and tired of that. Okay, my question is why? Why are you sick and tired of it? Because of a preacher? Because so many preachers have preached it? Or you're tired of hearing it? Or what? Why are you... Well, because, you know, it just seems like all they do is this, and all those preachers and this, that. Well, now, hold on. I'm not really sure I understand where you're coming from. Because the very concept of the Word of Faith message comes from the Bible. So if you say, I'm sick and tired of that Word of Faith message, I'm tired, then you know what? I would be a little bit concerned about you. Because what you're saying is you're sick and tired of aspects of spiritual truth, scriptural truth? Seriously? Look, I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm really not. But to kind of cut to the chase of it here at this point, the bottom line is this. All these people that have been hearing about faith, I say, I propose, the majority of them are not living by faith the way they should be. And along with that, a lot of the preachers that have preached faith they haven't delivered the whole message. There is so much more to this. So much more to it. And I'll tell you what, some of it is more simple than what you think. See, boy, I'm trying to keep from getting too far ahead of myself here. So much faith teaching has centered on money, material things, and healing. This, now listen, this is a violation of Scripture. I'm going to say it again, and I hope you listen to what I'm saying. So much faith teaching has centered on money, material things, and healing. This is a violation of Scripture. Now, some of you still aren't getting it. I will say it a little bit slower. So much faith teaching has centered on money, material things, and healing. This is a violation of Scripture.
You have Scripture for that?
As a matter of fact, turn to Matthew 6. I was listening to somebody the other day, a preacher, and I'm not going to be giving names in all of this, but as I was listening to this preacher, on the one hand, he was saying one thing about money and increase, but right along with that, in the same paragraph, he was saying something that contradicted himself. And he didn't realize it. Now the thing is, what he said has been said over and over and over and over and over by so many faith preachers. In fact, I probably said it myself 25 years ago, 30 years ago, whenever I ministered, way, way, way back. Now in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 24, these are the words of Jesus. He says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now stop right there. There are some people who will say that this word mammon is not related to money, it's related to the worship of a false god. You know what? One of the things that just flat out irritates me is when some people make more out of what we see. I don't even want to get started on that one. There are a lot of Christians, they just need to spend time in the Word of God and just stink and grow up, man. Anyway, he's talking here of this thing, mammon. It is speaking about mummy. Your mummy, my mummy. It's speaking about money. How do we know that? Because of the context of the passage. All right? And he says, look, you cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment, clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought. Don't worry, don't be concerned about it, etc. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, let's think about this for a moment. A few moments ago, I said so much faith teaching is centered on money, material things, and healing. This is a violation of Scripture. Now, somebody could come along and say, wait a minute, are you telling me that I'm not supposed to be healed? I don't know how in the world you got that out of what I just said. Listen again. So much faith teaching has centered on money, material things, and healing. This is a violation of Scripture. Said another way, it's not scriptural. Said another way, it's not an inspired teaching by God. The key word is centered. Centered. What did Jesus say? Look, we just read this whole passage, did we not? And he's saying, look, you know, you think about your food, you think about your clothes, you think about what you wear, you think about, you know, paying your bills, whatever it would be. But then he comes down here in this passage and he said, for one thing, why don't you just stop for a moment and think about the birds? You know, they don't sow and they don't reap and they don't gather into barns. Aren't you much better than they? Now think about this concept that's being presented. If the birds don't have to sow and reap to exist, and I am better than the birds, then I'll guarantee you I do not have to sow to reap to exist. All right, now, a bunch of people, you know, blasphemy, blasphemy. Okay, now, I understand what you're saying. But why are you accusing me of blasphemy and missing God? I can tell you why. It's because of decades and decades and sermon after sermon after sermon of you can't be blessed if you don't sow. And if you don't sow, you can't reap. You understand what I'm saying? You hear that over and over and over and over again. Let me ask you a question. Well, I don't need your permission. I'm going to anyway. Okay, what color is grass? Well, green, right? Why is it green? Why do you say grass is green? Why do you think that? It's because your whole life, all you've ever heard is the green, green grass, right? Come on. You know, you're thinking, what? Where is he going? You know the grass is green. That's not a trick question or a trick statement. Everybody says, grass is green, grass is green. Well, what if when you die and you go to heaven and you talk about, oh, God, the grass was so beautiful and green, and he says, boy, you guys are messed up. The grass is purple. The grass is, you're the ones that called it green. I called it purple ever since I made it. Ever since I created it, grass, we call it purple up here. No, God, that's not purple. Let me straighten you out here, God. Purple? Do you understand what I'm getting at? If you hear something all your life, that's what you call it. That's what you say. And when you hear over and over and over and over and over again, preacher after preacher after preacher, seminar after seminar, crusade after crusade, that if you don't sow, you can't reap. All the offering times, sow and reap, sow and reap. If that's what you hear, you believe it. Especially if a verse or two is thrown in. And then you hear the 30, 60, 100 fold, blah, 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 and all that. So you believe it, right? Okay. Then why isn't it working? Come on. Why isn't it working? You, I wonder if the people at home are giving me the same looks as you here. I don't know. Listen, if you're supposed to be getting your 30-fold return, where is it? You've been giving all your life. Where is it? Where's your 100-fold return? Come on, don't play games here with this. Don't justify the failures of these sermons by saying, well, I found a $10 bill on the sidewalk the other day. Hallelujah, 100-fold return. No, don't do that. Don't play those games. You know what you were hoping for when you put that money in the offering plate. And if they said, today is the 50-fold anointing offering day, then you put your money in and you were hoping for the 50-fold offering. That is what you were hoping for. And in your mind, you had a concept, an idea of how much money you were going to get as a result of what you put in that offering plate, and it never showed up.
How do you know it never showed up?
Trust me. It didn't show up. You can't count your salary at work. It didn't show up. He says right here, the birds, they don't sow, they don't reap, but they're supported. God feedeth them. In other words, your Father, your, listen to me, look here. I think you need to look at this again. Verse 26, Jesus says, behold, consider, think about, meditate on, take a good look at the birds of the air. And you know what? I realize chickens don't fly, but we'll count them too. Behold, the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet, notice it does not say God. Do you see that? If your Bible says God, get rid of that Bible and get a real one. King James. I need to go into Bible selling business as well. Notice what it says. I'm not trying to mess things up here. I'm trying to help you see this. Notice it says, your heavenly Father. Your heavenly, whose heavenly Father? Not the birds. It doesn't say God, and it doesn't say their heavenly Father. It doesn't say their Creator. It says your, Jesus says, your heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father. Not theirs, yours. He's saying, look, consider the birds, okay? They're everywhere. They're all over the place. They just sit around and wait for you to wash your car. Your chariot. They don't sow. They don't reap. But your Heavenly Father supplies for them. You are worth more than they. So if my Heavenly Father is going to meet the need of the birds that he's not even the father of, and I am more valuable than those birds, I guarantee you I do not have to sow and reap to be blessed or supplied by my Father. Do you understand this? Yes. What I've just shared with you in, what, 10, 15 minutes? Absolutely destroys so much of the faith message that's out there. And not only that, a lot of people will hear what I just shared with you and their brains are struggling to reconcile this. In part because,
wait a minute, Brother Martin, are you telling me that for the last 30 years, all my sowing has been in vain?
Well, the correct answer to that is yes, but I don't want to watch you flip out. Now, I'm not saying that your giving has been in vain, because if you gave into a ministry that was, you know, doing kingdom work and so forth, praise God for it, okay? So don't get under any, you know, condemnation or guilt here. But the whole thing of the sowing to reap Yeah, you've been doing that in vain. All right, just in your mind, think about all these services you've been in, or all the times you've watched on television, and they were telling you, this is the night. This is the night of blessing. God spoke to me this morning, earlier today in my hotel room, and I had a vision. And they talk about all this stuff and how the angels may have spoken to them, or how the Holy Spirit or Jesus showed up in my hotel room and this is what he said. I guarantee you this, Jesus did not tell you something that makes me lower than the fowls of the air. There's no way. But we hear this, okay? How many of those offerings have you given into over the years? How much money? Just begin to add it up. Don't worry. We'll get you delivered from the depression that's about to hit. I say that jokingly. So for the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you've given in these offerings, and they promised you. You've sowed, reap after sowing, and you've given your $10 seed. You've given your $50 seed. And one time you even gave the $500 seed. And then there was that time where they promised you, everybody who sows $1,000, God has told me they're going to get an ahama, wama, sama, whatever it is. And add it all up, you have not gotten a one-fold return. It just hasn't happened. You know why? Because further down in this, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, verse 33, and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. You know what the word add means? Add is the opposite of subtract. How many of you know that? Added represents increase. See this? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you will experience increase in your life. That's what he says, right? This is what he's telling you. He tells you, number one, the birds don't sow, the birds don't reap. They don't even think about it. You imagine birds up on the wire? Okay, I'm getting kind of hungry. I need some worms today, man. What? How much do we have to sow to get 100-fold worms? I got chicks back here in the nest I got to feed. No, that is just crazy. Those birds live every day of their lives and they don't even think about sowing and reaping. They're just chirping and flying and looking and whatever. And God says, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, says, you are more valuable than they. If your heavenly Father, not God, your heavenly Father. See, a lot of times we read through Scripture and we don't think about the reality of what he's saying in this. He did not say God feeds them, God supplies. He says your heavenly Father. He's emphasizing a relationship. And if we're better than those birds, I don't have to sow and I don't have to reap, but then he tells me how I can begin to see increase. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What is it that I should have been hearing all these years? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and increase will come into your life. That's what I should have been hearing. That is a major portion of the faith message. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, Jesus says in his passage, don't you sit around and worry about the money. How are you going to buy your food? How are you going to buy your house? How are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to buy your clothes? And how are you going to put gas in your car? So on and so. You know, he says, you know, don't sit around and worry about these things. He says, take no thought. Take no thought. Take no thought. Why take ye thought? Do not take thought. That's what he says. In other words, do not focus on that. Correct? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now, think in terms of what we hear so often in the faith message when it is related to increase. We are told to take thought for all of those things. We're told, think about how much you want. Think about how much you ought to have. Think about what you should be driving, what you should be wearing, what you should be living in. We're told to do the very opposite of what Jesus said. Are you seeing this? This is why I said that so much of the faith message, it's centered on money, material things, and healing, and that is a violation of Scripture. Now, the healing aspect of it, don't twist what I'm saying here. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Think with me now. He did not say, seek first healing. Listen, because some folks would twist this and say, Brother Martin, he's whacked out. He tells you you're not supposed to be healed. Brother Martin didn't say that. But the Bible does say, don't you lie. So if you lie about Brother Martin, I'm not going to stand next to you. No, those lightning bolts, God, he's got good aim. Pew, pew. No, he didn't say seek first healing. He didn't say healing isn't available. He's saying seek first the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because in the kingdom is everything we need, which is including healing. Do you see this? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. This is the faith message. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek it. Now you have to remember, Jesus is teaching people principles they can't even live by. I'll get into that here in a few minutes. Faith teaching has focused so much, so heavily, on giving and sowing financial seed and reaping and all of that. However, listen to this. Living by faith does not require money. Listen now. Living by faith does not require money. I'm going to say that again because I like it. Living by faith does not require money. Somebody needs to post that on Facebook and see what kind of replies you get. Not now. You're supposed to be listening right now. Yeah. I saw you reaching down for your things and
oh, Pastor, I ain't got no money to sow. I'm just totally broke. I mean, I ain't got no job. I'm a pastor, I can't sow anything to get your hundredfold return this week.
Well, brother, then you just need to use your faith to believe God for the money that you need to sow.
Okay, wait, hold on here. Wait a minute. You're telling me that I need to believe God for the money to sow so I can reap the promises you say God has guaranteed if I give money. Well, if I can believe God for the money to sow, why can't I believe God for the whole bunch of it that I need? And see, a lot of preachers, they say things like this, they don't even realize what they're saying. And Christians, while we hear it, it's like, he's right. Well, I need to believe God for the money so I can sow and be blessed. Well, how do you do that? Faith. Let me get this straight. Faith is going to help you believe to get the money that you need to sow and do something that Jesus said, don't do. Okay, help me understand that one. He says, don't take thought. Don't think about it. Don't sit about it and worry about it. Don't think about it. Seek first the kingdom of God. This is faith, right here. Seek first the kingdom of God. Putting money in an offering plate is not seeking the kingdom of God. We're going to get into that aspect of it later on here. See, let's just think a minute here about money, because that's a very popular subject. Just hold a seminar for Christians, and put a little ad in the paper. Week-long seminar. How to tap into God's promised wealth. See it in the Word for yourself. Weeknights, 7 o'clock at such and such location. I guarantee you, you'll have all kinds of people show up. Well, so let's think about this whole thing with the money and the blessings and all that. Let's just think here. We already know that Jesus has said the sowing and reaping thing, you know what? You're more valuable than the birds, so don't get caught up in all the sowing and reaping. Don't even take thought about this stuff. Just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Okay, Jesus, that's what I'll do. Well, have you guys considered, have we, us, those of us here listening and all, you know, it's possible that we are right now living in all the blessings that our faith can appropriate. Think about that. I'm living by faith. Praise God. Well, I'm just... Wait, faith. Look, faith works, all right? And we're going to be learning that as we go further into this series. Faith works. If it didn't work, we wouldn't be told to live by it. Faith works. It's our misunderstanding of faith which nullifies its effectiveness. So therefore, you know, you pull into a gas station and you take a look and, you know, let me just throw out numbers that may or may not be relevant to you. But here's a tank and it says, well, hey, this stuff here, it's only $3 a gallon, but this stuff over here is $3.80 a gallon. Well, I'd be stupid to put the $3.80 a gallon stuff there. I'm doing this. Well, it turns out the $3 a gallon tank, that's diesel. And you don't have a diesel engine in your car. Now, if you know anything about vehicles, guess what? You ain't going too far. You're going to have some problems. In fact, you'll probably ruin your engine. And now you're looking at a massive repair job. That's because you don't understand the difference between the two. Well, I know you guys do. You know, I mean, you're smart enough to know better. Although I've read about some people that have actually done that, put gas in their diesel or diesel in their non-diesel. Just not so. Okay, but if we don't understand correctly about faith, then we're trying to get blessings into our lives and we can't because we don't understand how faith is really supposed to work. So it's very possible that right now in our lives, we are living in all, 100% of all the blessings that our faith can appropriate. Now that's a pretty sobering thought. Because let me see if I can paint an image here. We have this idea that because we believe in faith, we've heard faith sermons, and we say we're living by faith, that any day now, any day, it's just going to come in. Any day, all that money is going to be there. All my blessings, I'm just going to get it. We're like the donkey that's chasing after that carrot. You know, the farmer's got the carrot on the stick, and the donkey thinks, okay, you know, just another few steps, I'll get that carrot. Well, you know, 6 months later, that donkey's still trying to get that carrot. And here we are, because we say we're living by faith, and because we say we're trusting God and His promises, and because we've heard all these sermons, we assume we're now qualified for all this increase and all these blessings. When our bills are paid and everything seems to be going well, the tendency is that we delude ourselves into thinking that we are living by an abundance of faith. Think about it. Well, you know, I'm fairly healthy. You know, bills paid, everything's going okay. I mean, I'm living by faith. Man, anybody can say that. And as soon as there's a problem, oh, you know, my faith must be weak right now. I must, and this is how it's presented sometimes. My faith must have taken a dip. or I must be running low on my faith right now. And that's why things aren't working out the way they're supposed to. And so we run, and like we read a few verses, and it's like, oh, I feel better now. And then things begin to change, and we think, I refilled my faith. I'm going to say this now and get into it later. Your faith does not fluctuate like the waves of the ocean. It doesn't work that way. Now, let me give you an example here. Thinking about this whole money thing. You have two people. Now, the one person is giving $10 a week in the offering. Then another person, this other individual, they're giving $100 a week in the offering. Now, the casual observer could look at that and think, wow, you know, the person giving the $100 a week, I mean, they're definitely living at a stronger, higher level of faith because they're able to give $100 a week. And the other person over here, well, you know, they're doing the best they can. And you know, well, God bless them. But they really need to work on their faith so that they can maybe get up to the $100 level. And then they'd be walking at the same kind of level of faith that the $100 a week person is living by. Well, here's what's interesting. The person giving the $10 a week offering may be living in greater faith than the person giving $100 a week. You say, well, how do you figure that? What if God wants the person giving the $100 a week to be giving $500 a week? Do you follow what I'm saying? Brother Martin, I never thought of it like that before. Well, you know, you can now. And right along with that, if the person giving the $100 a week is supposed to be giving $500 a week and they can't, it means that the person giving the $100 a week is living at a greater poverty level than the $10 a week person. Think about this. Well, how could they be living at a greater poverty level when they're giving 10 times? Yeah, but they're supposed to be giving 500 a week instead of 100 a week. And if they can't give the 500 a week and the $10 person is giving what they're supposed to be giving, then the $100 a week person is living at a greater level of poverty than the $10 a week person. And people don't think about that because we measure faith at times by what we're able to give. And that's not the accurate measuring stick for faith. Are you guys catching on to some of this? What I'm sharing with you right now, this is not what you hear in your typical faith sermon. But yet, this is where so many Christians have missed it. And so what we do then is we begin to measure ourselves according to what we hear preached by all of the success faith preachers. And I'm not saying that those preachers miss it in everything. They're not. But when you hear what I've been sharing with you today, yeah, they're missing it. So we take our lives and we begin to measure our lives against what we hear them say. And if our lives don't measure up to what they present, then we see ourselves as not having enough faith. But now, think again what we have seen in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, the fowls of the air don't sow and they don't reap, and you're more valuable than the fowls of the air. If your heavenly Father is going to take care of creatures he did not even father, how much more so is he going to take care of those who are his own children? So I read that and I realize, well, okay, he's my heavenly Father. I don't have to sow to reap. He's going to take care of me. My Father will take care of me. If somebody is telling me I have to sow in order to reap to get the blessings, and I've come to the realization I'm more valuable than this whole sowing and reaping concept and that my Father would take care of me, do you realize I am now living at a greater level of faith than those preachers? Do you understand that? Well, Brother Martin, I never thought of it like that. Well, there's more. If I am not taking thought of what I wear, what I eat, where I live, what I drive, so on and so forth, if I'm not taking thought for all of that stuff, even though those preachers are saying, you should be wearing the best and driving the best and living in the best and eating the best as an example to the world that you're a child of the King. Well, now, wait a minute. No. Jesus said, take no thought about that kind of stuff. Your Father knows. He knows what you need now. Jesus said, instead of taking thought for all that stuff, seek first the kingdom of God. So then if I read this and I realize, well, man, I don't have to sit around and just think about what I don't have. I don't have to sit around and think about, oh, I'm not really driving a faith vehicle. I mean, this thing's got, you know, 185,000 miles on it. It's 15 years old. And I mean, it still runs okay. But according to the preachers, well, that's not really a faith vehicle. You understand what I'm saying here? Okay, if I get past all of that, I'm no longer thinking about all that stuff. Instead, I have shifted my focus, and now I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do you realize I'm living by more faith than those faith preachers? But not according to their doctrine. According to their doctrine, if I'm not hauling it in, and I know I'm using some exaggerations here, but I'm doing it to make a point. If I don't have what they talk about, if I don't have the stuff they described, if I don't have the kind of money that they imply I should have, then I'm not living by faith according to what they say, but according to what my Savior says. I'm more valuable than the birds of the air. I don't have to sow and I don't have to reap. I don't have to sit around and think about what I'm driving and think about all this. What I need to do is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I'm living by faith. I'm living by a higher level of faith than all those preachers, at least as far as that aspect of their message is concerned. I'm living by a higher level of faith. But I'll tell you what, if you don't guard your heart, you start coming under condemnation. Well, I'm living by faith. And other Christians will help. Well, if you're living by faith, then how come you don't have? And how come you're not eating and driving and wearing? And how come? Well, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Hey, I've got some news for you guys. Have you ever considered the possibility that God is not as caught up with the year and make of your car as you are? Have you considered that God is not as caught up in the size of your house as you are? Or the kind of watch you're wearing? Or the kind of clothes you wear? Have you ever considered that God's not as caught up in designer or name brand? Hey, listen, I remember years ago, Timex takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Yes, but Timex, the rich people don't wear a Timex. And, well, I saw the preacher the other day, the faith preacher. Why, he was wearing a Rolex, diamonds in his Rolex. Well, bless his heart. I know a preacher. He was prayed for. Holy Ghost came on him, and he fell down on the floor, slain in the spirit, as we say. And when he, you know, quote, came to his senses, somebody had put a Rolex watch on his wrist. He had no idea who it was. Now, in that kind of situation, that's a whole lot different. You do understand what I'm saying. And if one of you wants to come up and give me a Rolex... Truth of the matter is, I actually put one on one time. A friend of mine was a manager at a jewelry store, and he had a bunch of them in the case. I said, man, I've never, look at those. He says, hey, you want to try one on? I said, well, okay, sure. So he takes it out of the case and puts it on. I forget what it, like, it was maybe $10,000, $15,000, had diamonds in it. But the thing weighed a ton. I mean, I want to be able to praise the Lord, you know. I don't want to be, oh, with my hands sort of lifted up, Lord. No. Hallelujah. Are you guys starting to see how we've been led astray? And some of you have known some of these things already, but it's starting to hit home a little bit more. Let me go ahead and do this. John chapter 3. What I want to do is give you some scriptures here to lead us to the point where we will stop today. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. All right, what do we see? We see right here that if you want to be in the kingdom, you must be born again. Well, how do you get born again? You put your faith in Jesus Christ. Once you get born again, at that point, he says you can see or enter into the kingdom. Now look over in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And what we're going to read here in Mark chapter 1 is basically a summary of Jesus' ministry here on earth. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom of God. So he says here, look, the time is fulfilled. What time? The time of the law governing man relative to the Jews. He said, the time is fulfilled, and now the kingdom of God is going to be made available unto you, so you need to repent, and you need to believe the gospel of the kingdom. Well, what is the gospel of the kingdom? Part of it is, ye must be born again. So Jesus went about teaching and preaching the kingdom. Now look over in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, we're going to begin reading here in verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we see then that by virtue of us putting our faith in Jesus Christ, God, our heavenly Father, has translated us out of the power of darkness and put us into, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So we see now we are in the kingdom by virtue of the fact that we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. We've been delivered from darkness and we've been translated into the kingdom that Jesus preached and taught. Now look over in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, it says, look here in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now remember, Jesus was talking about the gospel of the kingdom. Well, how do I get into the kingdom? I get into the kingdom by putting my faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the kingdom are going to be synonymous. And he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, or I am not ashamed of the gospel of the kingdom, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. See that? The just shall live by faith. Who are the just? The just are those who have been justified. How are you justified? You put your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you are justified to be delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God. Therefore, I stand here as somebody who is born again. I am justified, and you are too if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. This means that those of us who are justified, all of us as Christians, are supposed to do what? We are supposed to live by faith. Live by faith. We are supposed to live by faith. Okay, this in mind, turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. I'll give you a moment to get there because I want you to see this with your own eyes. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus has gone into the wilderness for a face-off with the devil. And in verse 4, Jesus is speaking to the devil, and he says, Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The just shall live by faith. Jesus says, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Therefore, we know that living by faith means living by every word that has proceeded forth out of the mouth of God. This is the standard, and it is not going to change. You cannot live by faith if you are living by anything other than what God has spoken. Well, how do I know what God has spoken? Well, hopefully you're holding a copy of it in your hands right now. It's called the Bible. Now, you can turn back to this if you want to, but in Colossians chapter 1, let me just bring this up here. In Colossians chapter 1, it says that we're to give thanks, verse 12, to the Father because he's made us meet, or he has qualified us, or we are justified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay, if I'm justified to be a partaker is not a recipient. A partaker is a participant. If I am justified to participate or partake of the inheritance of the saints in light, then let me ask you a question. What is the inheritance? Now think about this. What is the inheritance? Could you right now write down what the inheritance is? Most Christians can't. They have no idea what the inheritance is all about. Therefore, if I'm supposed to live by faith, and I'm supposed to be living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, and he says that I, as a citizen of the kingdom, am justified to be a participant or a user of the inheritance, and I don't know what the inheritance is, how can I live by faith? You follow what I'm saying? But the faith message says, give your money and get a bunch of stuff. Wait a second. If I'm qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance, then why should I have to sow money to get anything? I need to find out, number one, what is the inheritance? Well, as soon as you use the word inheritance, people start thinking about money. Well, it's a whole lot more than that. Now, Christians, those of us who are born again, what's the difference? I mean, if you're born again, you're a Christian. I mean, all of you Christians who are born again, excuse me, isn't that like all of us? Christians, according to what we have seen in the Scriptures, in God's Word, over the last few minutes, Christians are living in the kingdom of God. Now, physically, you're here on earth. But from God's perspective, on a spiritual level, we are living in the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of God's dear Son. It is a new place of residence. In fact, you don't have to turn to it, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 talks about your chosen generation and a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We, as citizens of the kingdom, we are now living in a new residence. It is a new place of residence in a new nation. And there are new regulations. For example, I know some people that moved here from Canada, and they had to get a new driver's license. Well, they couldn't just walk in and say, hey, I'm a good driver in Canada. Can I get one of your driver's license? Well, up until this past May, they could have done that. But a new rule got passed, a new regulation. And the regulation said, ha, 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 silly Canadian, eh? You don't get to do that. Instead, we're going to let you take the driver's test. Number one will be the written exam. Number two will be the driving exam. And these folks from Canada said, aw, well, they said more than that. But and so they took the written exam. And they're thinking, well, how hard can it be? I mean, you know, the speed limit is a speed limit, and this is that, and that is this. And so they took the written exam. But they didn't all pass, did they? And now, I'm not saying that to embarrass anybody. This is a perfect illustration. They were so familiar with driving in Canada, and the laws are very similar. But when they got down here, they found out that some of the laws here were different than some of the laws up there. Well, they didn't know that. Now, why didn't they know that? And again, I'm not making fun at all. Because if I were to go to Canada, well, after hearing what they went through, you know, I'd do things a little bit differently if I were trying to get a driver's license up there. But the reason they didn't know is because the Ohio traffic laws require studying the Ohio traffic law book. You understand that? Well, those who didn't pass, they got the book and read it. Guess what? Passed. No problem. Absolutely no problem. Now, I'm using that to illustrate this whole concept. As Christians, we're living in a kingdom. It is a new residence in a new nation. We're living someplace where we've never lived before. The problem we have is that so many Christians, we try to carry over kingdom of the world faith principles and apply all of that in kingdom of God residency, and it doesn't work. But we justify it not working every chance we get. I found the $10 bill on the sidewalk. That proves that the sowing and reaping works. Well, how much did you sow last week? I sowed $100. And you got 10 in return. Glory to God! Wait a minute. Isn't that kind of like a reverse blessing or something? I think it's going the wrong way for you, buddy. If we do not take the time to find out what God says about living by faith, you can't live by faith. I mean, you can't. And here's the crazy thing. It's probable that many of us who have heard so many of these faith sermons, let me say it this way, we're halfway living by faith. But we're not living totally by faith. The problem is we don't really understand it that way. We're still trying to blend the worldly concept and the kingdom concept. But the more that we get into, remember, just shall live by faith and live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Okay, that means the only way I can truly live by faith is to get into what's come out of the mouth of God and find out what God has said really qualifies as living by faith. Then the more I do that is the more that I begin living by faith. Now I'm going to say something that's going to sound maybe off the wall and rather dramatic, but as we go through all of this, you'll understand it. Living by faith is not simply a matter of confessing Scripture. It's not. Now, I wouldn't say that if I couldn't prove it from the Word of God. Now, I did not say Living by faith does not include confessing Scripture. I did not say that. But see, the way that we're led to believe is that, well, you know, all you got to do is just confess the word, confess the word, confess. And I've taught on confession before many times, and we'll get into this as well here in this series. But the way that it comes across is all I have to do is confess the word of God, and that means I'm living by faith. Well, that's a part of it, yeah. That is a part of it. It absolutely is a part of it. But it's not the whole. It's the part. It is a part. So yes, you should do that. Absolutely. But it's not the sum total. Remember earlier when we were reading in Matthew chapter 6, and we saw how Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Remember that? I know you do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, if he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, then seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is a part of the gospel of the kingdom. And if I am now in the kingdom, and I'm supposed to live by faith, which means living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, then the instruction Jesus gave me to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is one aspect of living by faith. Said a little differently, if I am not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then I have removed from my life a critical aspect of what it means to live by faith. Said another way, if I'm going to live by faith, then part of what I'm doing has to be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Praise God. Well, we're going to stop at this point, and we will continue the next time when we continue. And I can tell you right now, I could tell this morning, you know, the Lord was giving me even more about this as I was in my office this morning, and I'm going to have a lot of fun teaching this series. And I know, this morning there are a lot of people who heard things that maybe were very challenging. I understand that. Believe me, I understand that. However, we need to focus on what God has said. And if we see things in Scripture that contradict what we've heard preached over the years about faith, then we need to make an adjustment in our lives. Likewise, if we see some things in the Word of God that have been missing in our lives relative to our understanding about living by faith, well, then we need to add those things to our lives. If I'm going to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, then I need to begin finding out what has he said relative to living by kingdom faith. I'll say this, and you're going to hear me say it again later in this series. Please do not misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say. The more you live by faith, the less you ask for prayer. Do you understand that? Now, I'll explain that in more detail later on.